expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors. We all owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. In my 30 years serving as a civilian who supports and advocates for our military and veterans, I've developed a bit of a sensitivity and perhaps a kind of a hyper-protectiveness for those who wear the uniform. One always develops a pretty accurate bullpucky meter. Sometimes it's obvious, like the fellow I saw this week at a bus stop. He might have been 50 years old, but was wearing a World War II veteran ball cap. Not judging his intentions, but yeah, no. I'm especially sensitive to people who might see American Warrior Radio as a forum to beat up on the military and first responder community. Most of their intentions are obvious, and they don't make it on the show. So when I was contacted by today's guest, my sensitivity meter immediately pegged, but I figured I at least owed her the courtesy of a phone call and agreed to read her book. Another lesson I've learned over the years is that those of us who consider it our duty to support our military and first responders also have an obligation to call out injustices when we see them. Above all, every one of us should seek the truth, no matter how harsh it may be. Sadly, today's guest found herself in precisely that position. Receiving the news of her Green Beret husband's death in an ambush in Niger was bad enough, but that was just the beginning of a longer nightmare for herself and her family. What you're going to hear today is going to be tough to process, but you need to hear it. Welcome to American Warrior Radio, Gold Star wife, Michelle Black.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Speak up, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, there we go. It's radio, live radio. Now, your book is called Sacrifice, A Gold Star Widow's Fight for the Truth. In our first conversation, Michelle, I'll admit I had my doubts. You weren't overly pitching the book. You just said, read the book, and then decide for yourself. So I did, and here you are.
Yeah, I do get that reaction because I think as a gold star, a lot of people, they assume you're coming into it, you're fresh out of grief, you're writing it because you're upset that your husband died. But that really wasn't my case. Obviously, I'm upset my husband died, but it's so much more than that. And I knew if you read the book, that would really be enough of a testament to my story and why I wrote it.
And so, Michelle, because we do have a lot of civilian listeners, just to clarify, Gold Star is a reference to a family member who's lost someone who's been killed serving our country. So we have Gold Star moms, Gold Star widows, Gold Star kids, I guess.
Correct, yeah. And I lost my husband overseas, so I am considered a Gold Star wife or widow.
Now, the book, again, folks, check it out. It's called Sacrifice, A Gold Star Widow's Fight for the Truth. Your story, or this story, Michelle, is really one of those that begins at what it should have been the end of the story, with your husband being killed in action and the ceremonies and his internment. But that's really where the story begins. But let's talk about the book itself, Michelle, really begins or starts off as a wonderful love story. Tell us about Brian.
Brian was incredible. Many people refer to him as a Renaissance man, and I think that's a very accurate description. He, volumes and volumes of books, and he would read them and then use them, put them into action. So everything he did, he perfected. He spoke four languages, taught himself two. So he spoke Arabic, French, and Hausa. When we first met, he was a chess champion. He had competed since he was a child and had won second at nationals when he was 11 years old, I believe. And, built a trading algorithm for stocks. He was everything. He just did everything. It was always something new with him. He built me custom cabinetry for our bedroom when he took up woodworking the year before he died. It was always something new with Brian.
Yeah, now I tell you, one thing I like, I obviously never met Brian, but one thing I like about him, he and I maybe have something a little bit in common, in that he, a brilliant man, but his He came off his initial appearance, Michelle, I guess, was sort of like he was a dummy. So he would go with that. He loved to let people just assume that, and then he'd get a chance to kind of tug their chain a little bit.
Oh, he did. Yeah. In fact, that was one of the first things about him that kind of drew me into getting to know him, because I saw him at the back of our church the first time I met him, and he was 6'2", 250, and he'd been a college wrestler and done some MMA and cage fighting, so his neck was just as big around as my thigh, had his head shaved, and he just looked really dumb. And so I walked up, and, you know, we started talking, and then he leaves that night, and he's on his bicycle, and we were in a ski town. So he's riding his bike through the ski town, and I thought, oh, this guy can't be too bright. You know, you can't be riding a bike on the snow. And then, you know, I realized that the more I was around him, he would play dumb to everybody, and he thought this was funny. So then people would treat him very gently and, you know, very special. But then I found out all his history as I gave him more time, that he'd been a chess player, and that I went over to his house one day, and he was playing online poker at the time, and he had four tables of chess, speed chess going, and four tables of online poker. And he's just going click through them all. And I'd asked his roommates about it, and he goes, oh, yeah, last time I walked in and asked Brian what he was doing, all he did was give me a one-word answer, which was, I'm winning.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, if you ever asked him what you're doing, oh, I'm winning or I'm losing, and that was it. So I began to realize, okay, he's a little smarter than I had originally thought.
Well, and apparently he was quite the debater as well. I mean, probably the biggest debate he ever won was convincing you that you were his girlfriend, and that was that.
Yeah. I was, I was not very interested in dating anyone, and I liked him. He was safe. He could just be my friend, you know? It was great. And then one day he told me that I was actually his girlfriend, and I thought, oh, gosh, I don't know where he got this idea. And by the end of the night, he had convinced me that actually, technically, according to his logic, you know, we'd been hanging out so much that, yeah, we were actually dating. And so I finally just gave in. I was like, okay, fine, I can't really argue with this anymore. He's right. We are dating.
Technically.
But then I, you know, he'd been telling everybody, so then I had to at least win that, you know, the argument on the side that, well, I hadn't agreed to it before then. So, you know, we hadn't been dating before the moment that I agreed to it. So he was wrong when he told everybody else that we were dating already, because we weren't, because I didn't know.
He had to go there, Michelle. Now, real quick, before we take our first break, you two, and you're different in some ways from some of the guests that we have on the show, in that you two were married and had begun your family before Brian decided to pursue a career in the military, correct?
Yes.
And really that was all about, honey, just go out and do what makes you happy kind of thing?
It was, yeah.
Fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ben Buehler-Garcia. I tell you, this is a powerful chat. You're going to want to stick around and hear this with Michelle Black, the author of Sacrifice, A Gold Star Widow Fight for the Truth. As long as we speak their names, they are never forgotten. Staff Sergeant Brian Black, Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson, Staff Sergeant Dustin Wright, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
Diamondback Shooting Sports has the experience and expertise you deserve and expect when it comes to Class 3 transfers. They've completed hundreds of Class 3 applications over the years, and they don't farm out any portion of the application process to third parties. Kiosks are great if you want a cup of coffee, but for Class 3 transfers, let the experts at Diamondback do the job for you. Completed application forms, live scan fingerprinting, NFA gun trust, passport-style photos, and notary stamp. They do it all, they do it in-house, and they do it right. Visit dbackshootingsports.com for more information or call 886-833.
2021 is the year of the Ford at Jim Click and Holmes Tuttle Ford with newly redesigned vehicles like the all-new 2021 F-150 with a redesigned interior and available Pro Power on board so you can power a worksite or a tailgate party or the all-new first-ever 2021 fully electric Mustang Mach-E and the arrival of the long-awaited all-new 2021 Ford Bronco and Bronco Sport. 2021 is truly the year of the Ford. Find out more 24/7 at Jim Click Ford or HolmesTuttle.com.
To those of you holding the blue line, listen up. Since opening their doors, the Trident Grill has always supported the men and women who wear the badges of our local, regional, and federal law enforcement agencies. That is why right now, all four Trident Grill locations and the Trident Pizza Pub are offering a 50% discount to any uniformed law enforcement professional. All day, every day. 50% discount on your meal for any uniformed law enforcement officer at all Trident Grill restaurants. Visit TridentGrill.com for menus, hours, and locations. Thank you, and stay safe.
Hey, you! We've got something new in the store.
Well, not really in store. It's in your home, in your office, where you play, wherever you are.
My point, son. We're here. You're there.
Wherever that is.
Tucson Appliance Company is your appliance concierge.
Tell us what you want. We will find it and send you photos, texts, emails, even FaceTime you the appliance. Buy it and we will deliver it. We're your personal appliance shopper.
Only at Tucson Appliance where our low price is your priority.
Hey listeners, it's BBG. Let me tell you about the commitment of my friends at CNC Partners to serving those who serve. If you're a current or previous military or first responder and are considering buying or selling real estate anywhere in Arizona, the CNC team will return 10% of their commissions to you and your family. They will also donate 5% of their commission to the charity of your choice. Visit CNCPartnersAZ.com to get started or just give them a call at 520-406-0233. Mention American Warrior Radio and receive a special gift at closing. That's CNCPartnersAZ.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Laura Bueller Garcia for Radiology Limited. If you or a friend have been putting off your exam because you're nervous, please don't. Early detection can reduce breast cancer mortality by nearly 40%. Regular exams are especially important if you have a family history of cancer. The Radiology Limited staff have been warm and friendly every time I visited. Call 733-7226 to schedule your exam today. You can search all their convenient locations at radltd.com. At Radiology Limited, they take care of those closest to you.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're speaking with Michelle Black. You can learn more and visit michellebacksacrifice.com. Michelle, you weren't an author. I think pretty much you were a housewife, yes, leading
I
up
was.
To this? Okay.
Yes.
So you're a lot smarter than me, clearly. Correct me. How do I pronounce it? Niger? What's the acceptable...
Well, I've gotten used to saying Niger, but okay. That's the way Brian would say it. That's the French, pronunciation. But for American, American pronunciation, Niger is acceptable. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Niger. Okay. So this, as I mentioned, this story really began at the end. Your husband, you got just the terrible news that Brian had been killed in this ambush in Niger. But really, that started the ball rolling on lots of things. There's the mourning, there's the service, the ceremony, the calls by the military officials, and the briefing that was provided to you and the other families of those persons who were killed. But at some point, Michelle, where was that point where you're horse pucky meter started to peg? When did it say, wait a minute, we're not getting the full story here?
You know, really, when we were sitting in the brief, because we had heard things through the media that didn't match up for me, my assumption was that the investigators would clear all that up and that we would get a detailed timeline of events on the ground. One thing that became clear pretty quick in our brief was that not only were we not being given a very detailed timeline of events, everything felt somewhat glossed over, but that when we asked specific questions, a lot of the answers were very, very vague and came with more of a trust us, Miss Black, you'll see. And I thought, well, if I'm going to eventually see, wouldn't it be now in the brief? You know, I've waited six, seven months to be briefed for you to finish your investigation. Now is the time that I get to ask questions, and I've been told you will answer them thoroughly. But then when I'm asking them, you're getting frustrated with me and telling me to simply trust you. It will be clear in the end. So when is the end?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, so real quick, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Another important person in this whole thing, Michelle, is Henry. Tell us a little bit about him real quick.
Yes, Henry is Brian's dad. He served in the military for years. He was a Marine, and then he worked as a contractor. And so he really could give me a lot of background knowledge, and that's how I began to learn the terminology, you know, and how things work as far as the operations and what we should have expected to get from investigators, as far as answers to different pieces of the operation that day on the ground that led to Brian's death.
So, you know, having Henry on your wing also helped, because I'm guessing his meter is he's saying something's not clicking here.
Exactly. And any time that I was like, oh, that doesn't, you know, this doesn't add up or that doesn't add up, he could bring me down and say, okay, well, you know, that's okay, and this is what we can expect, and so that I wouldn't get too riled up over little things. But then when things were concerning to him, he'd be honest with me and say, no, yeah, you're right, that doesn't fit, and I also noticed this. And so he really was a good person to gauge kind of my gut instinct on a lot of what we were being told.
So Michelle, do you think that, despite all that, that maybe it would have ended there if it wasn't for General Waldhauser's press conference? I mean, that really lit your fuse. And tell our listeners why.
Well, I'm trying to decide whether or not I would have gone from there. I probably would have. It may not have been as passionate, but I think, or as quick, but I think I still would have, because at the brief, we were still left with the team was being blamed. But what General Waldhauser did in the AFRICOM brief took it a step further. He was asked a question about the teams behaving like cowboys and going rogue, essentially. And his response was that all teams on the continent of Africa were performing well, but that my husband's team was not indicative of what special operators do. So in one fell swoop, he managed to completely dishonor all the men who fought and died alongside my husband and the sacrifice that the four who died made. And to me, that was like saying that, you know, when you die with a green beret on, you aren't worthy of being called a green beret. And that was too much for me.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes no sense to me either, even at this distance. And Michelle, I tell you, folks, this book, Sacrifice, you need to read it. It's really good. And I tell you, honestly, I'll tell you, Michelle, I was a little bit surprised, particularly given the way the book began. But when you get into the actual action of what happened there in Niger, I was very shocked a little bit and very pleasantly surprised with the detail and the attention to detail and the accuracy with which you wrote it, particularly given that you're a civilian with really no military background going into this. And we'll talk a little bit about where that came from. But as you're doing this, as you're pursuing this project, Michelle, as a civilian, writing a military book, if you will, did you have any doubts along the line? I mean, because obviously, I guess you felt the burden to give justice to everyone's story.
Yeah, I don't know that it ever crossed my mind to doubt my ability, or I felt like no matter what, it had to be done. And if it had to be done, then I would make it happen, whatever that cost or looked like. And I knew that the men on the team, I really felt like they were depending on me, like my husband's parents were depending on me, and really the memory of all the men who died and their families, they were all depending on me. So either way, I felt that whether it took me 1 year or 20 years, I would make sure that every detail was just perfect and that I would write as well, if not better, than anyone who had ever written a war book, even though I didn't know what I was doing. And it was really hard.
Yeah.
But I needed to.
So let's get into the actual action. I don't want to give too much away. And frankly, it's very detailed. We wouldn't have time in four shows probably get into all the details that you put down in the book. After talking to Brian's team members and some other folks there on the ground, I checked the website. I actually watched the publicly released video brief, which was pretty sanitized. But nonetheless, our number one, our troops were invited in by the host nation in Niger. It's not like we were out there doing some kind of secret squirrel kind of stuff. So we were there to, or still are there, I guess, maybe to train host nation partner forces to enhance the nation's security assistance efforts and to conduct counterterrorism operations and surveillance and reconnaissance mission with host nation forces. Really two missions here, Michelle. The first mission that your husband's team was sent on actually was completed. It was successful, correct?
Correct.
But it's also important to note that they were dispatched on that mission with very little warning. I mean, maybe overnight they had time to prepare to go out there and do this mission, correct?
Yes.
And that is important later on. Why?
It's important because they were punished for not doing pre-mission rehearsals, and yet every part of their mission was short suspense.
Okay. And in this case, literally, it was a matter of hours, correct?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Explain to our listeners, and I'm so proud of you because I'm reading your book, and I consider myself pretty well-versed, and I'm learning things in your book that I didn't know of, but explain to our listeners what a CONOP is.
A CONOP is a concept of operations. It's a concept of operations report, and every team has to fill it out before they go on a mission. And that way they can be certain to have all the right support that they need and equipment before they go out. And that way their higher-ups can give them all the approvals they need. So they can look through and say, okay, yes, you know, they've got what they need for this mission, and this is the type of mission they're going on.
And very often these are sort of a cut-and-paste job?
Correct. They're very long, and a lot of times they're, you know, for instance, when they were going down to Tilawa, they had been on several missions to Tilawa recently. So they can just take their previous mission to Tilawa, the CONOP from that, cut and paste that over, and then just fill in the portions for the new mission, change the date, change the objective, things like that. So it's kind of like just taking a form and then filling in what you need to fill in.
The area where they're operating too, Michelle, we knew that there were bad guys operating in the vicinity. They hadn't, at least up to that point, they had not attacked U.S. forces, but there was still good reason to be cautious. You know, and folks, keep in mind that we're talking out there in Africa, in the sub-Saharan. I mean, there's not a lot out there. It's not like you can take cover in a building somewhere. But so they completed their first mission and then were told, wait a minute, we've got some new intelligence last minute again. We want you to, and they were literally on their way back to base, if I'm not mistaken, Michelle, right?
Yes, they were only, I believe, an hour and a half outside their base when they got a call over the radio asking them to turn back around.
And to go up closer to the border, which is kind of a sketchy proposition to begin with, because there, again, there's not fences or signs or guards there. I mean, you're never quite sure which side of the border when you're in another country or not. So they were told to turn around and go up there. And this is the thing that strikes me as a civilian, Michelle, is they've already, now they didn't engage in anything, so their ammunition was still good, but you're out there in the desert. There's issues like fuel and water, and, you know, keep in mind this, in this part of the world, it's not like a Jade Helm exercise where, you know, they have in the southeastern U.S. where you can just steal a farmer's chicken to eat, or, you know, pop into a corner market to restock your water supply. So right off the bat, there were some doubts just as far as logistics, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there were a lot of issues with them turning around and heading towards the border. One of the, well, there's multiple big things. One thing is they're heading north, and so they're coming from the south, but they're expected to create a blocking position along the Mali border, and they're in vehicles, and there are no roads. So, and they're coming up against militants who are going to be on motorcycles. So if you're talking motorcycles in the desert that can move about 25 miles an hour versus an eight-vehicle convoy, and they're moving around 5 miles an hour because, again, no roads. And they're supposed to block these motorcycles from going across the border into Mali. But, you know, they're not allowed, the Americans aren't allowed to go into Mali. So for them, logistically, that doesn't make sense to try and approach these militants, because they're going up to a campsite up there. And so to go up to the campsite and create a blocking position isn't realistic for them. Then you add on top that they're going to be driving somewhere between 10 and 12 hours through the night with no sleep, and with a partner force who hasn't been trained on no sleep, and their supplies are dwindling of water and food, and as well as their partner force. And, they can't just pop into a village and drink the water. The Americans will get sick off the water that comes from the wells there. It's dirty. It's full of bacteria. And they hadn't planned for more than a one-day mission. So there were just all sorts of things that, you know, really didn't fit. And I'm sure if they had known that they were going to be going after a terrorist, they would have packed more ammunition.
Sure, sure. And that's just the beginning of where things went wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Michelle Black. Visit MichelleBlackSacrifice.com. We'll be right back. I don't think I need to remind you to shop locally. That's why Laura and I just bought our brand new oven from the friendly folks at Tucson Appliance Company. A huge selection you can save every day over any big box store price. If you need a replacement or an upgrade, visit Tucson Appliance at Speedway in Columbus, where their low prices are my priority.
Military life can do a number on your back. Did you know chronic pain affects 44% of military personnel? The Joint Chiropractic is here to help, offering a discount on chiropractic care for active and retired military members and their families. Come in now to experience the Joint's exclusive military pricing of just $19 for your initial consultation, exam, and adjustment. Open evenings and weekends. No appointment or insurance required. Visit thejoint.com for a location near you in Tucson. You have our back. Let us help you with yours.
There's never been a better time to get out and enjoy our great outdoors and improve your health. Whether you're a recreational cyclist or a competitor, check out Tucson Endurance Performance Center. Owner Brian Grasky is an F-16 pilot and competed at the national level. He knows the importance of quality equipment kept in top shape. That's why Tucson Endurance Performance Center has the most experienced techs in town. Check out their variety of bicycles, equipment, and gear at TucsonEnduranceCenter.com or stop by one of their two locations, northeast corner of Oracle and Orange Grove, or in the Crossroads Festival Complex at Grant and Swan.
During this crisis, government has taken every opportunity to mask your liberty, making you dependent on them. Don't do that. Let us guide you so you can declare your financial independence. I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. That's imuswilkinson.com. Call us at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Brushfire Barbecue, Tucson's best barbecue, has adjusted to these interesting times. With takeout, curbside pickup, and delivery, there's no reason to miss out on your favorite barbecue. And now Brushfire introduces COVID-safe catering. Cater your holiday gathering with individually prepared and packed meals for every guest. Always a military discount at both Tucson locations, 22nd and Kolb, or Campbell and Glen. Check out menus, prices, and options at brushfirebbq.com or call their catering department at 520-850-0306. Father's Day is right around the corner. Why not give him a gift that will last a lifetime? Visit our friends at Ambassador Diamond Jewelers, 4668 East Speedway, right on the corner of Speedway and Swan. Choose from their extensive selection of gifts for men or have Mike and Jim design a custom piece for dear old dad. Ambassador also does repair work. That's who Laura and I use. Check out their selections at AmbassadorDiamonds.com and tell them American Warrior Radio sent you. Good jewelry is an investment that lasts a lifetime. Make yours with a trusted team at AmbassadorDiamonds.com.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows. Refinance and save money now or get into your dream home. The Dellinger team at Nova Home Loans finds you the best rate. 440-0516 or azfamilyfirst.com. Sean and Tiffany have a special passion for helping military and first responder families. Anywhere in Arizona, Colorado, California, or Nevada, the Dellinger team, azfamilyfirst.com. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087BK, 0902429. Equal housing lender.
If you're like me, you only want to fly the best American flag to show your pride in our nation. The founders of Allegiance Flag Supply became frustrated at not being able to find a flag that was made in the USA and sewn to the highest standards of quality. So they decided to set out to create a better flag. American flags should be made in America, and Allegiance uses only the highest quality U.S. source materials. They are then handcrafted by third-generation seamstresses right here in the USA. That's why the BBG household proudly flies a flag from Allegiance Flag Supply. Choose from a variety of flags or even a flag for your boat. We have their complete flag set, which includes a pole and mounting hardware. It has solved that frustrating problem of the flag wrapping around the pole. Order your new flag for 4th of July today by visiting showallegiance.com. Allegiance Flag Supply has always offered discounts to members of our military and first responders. And now, any of our listeners can get a 10% discount by using the code AmericanWarrior, all capital letters, at checkout. The gold standard of flags. It's what we fly. Visit showallegiance.com today. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Gold Star widow Michelle Black. Her book is called Sacrifice, A Gold Star Widow's Fight for the Truth. Michelle's husband, Brian, was among a number of soldiers that were killed in an ambush in Niger. And we're talking about that. I encourage you, you've got to read the book, folks, to get the details. Michelle, I tell you, reading that section of the book, it's almost like I'm screaming at the pages saying, get out of there and why, and just really, it was hard. It was hard to read. I can imagine it was even harder for you to write. That one of the frustrations for me, looking, you know, hindsight's 2020, I guess, but in this case, 2020 foresight should have been applied. The previous commanding general responsible for that area, the general, is it Bolduc? How do you pronounce his name?
Yes, General Bolduc.
He had a written policy that the final decision-making authority belonged to the personnel on the ground. If they advised canceling a mission, that was what was done. No argument, no debate. And there were more than on several occasions, Captain Perzini, he was the ranking officer in the field at the time, and on more than one occasion, he strongly advised against proceeding with this mission, but that was discounted. And to me, that one of the things, Michelle, that comes out that breaks my heart about this is this was avoidable.
Yes, it was, completely.
And at the end of the day, we'll get to that. You got me all riled up here. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm guessing at some point, so they're basically your husband's team. They're up there. They're low on water. Timing. It was hard. They progressed slower than they'd planned. In some cases, I guess the captain was out there literally walking in front of the vehicles because you're in this high grass. You never know if you're gonna. You can't just put the pedal to the metal and drive across the open desert. There's washes. There's all kinds of other things that might happen out there. So the timing was bad. Then, long story short, is they basically got engaged by what they thought was just some yahoos out there, but turned out to be a significantly numerically superior force.
Correct. Yeah, they had been told that, you know, if they were engaged out there, that more than likely it would be a couple guys, you know, who take a couple pop shots at them and head back out into the desert. There had been, like we discussed, you know, several of these ambush events, but they had never been carried out on Americans. And so there was kind of a cavalier attitude by those at the upper echelons in, you know, both SOC Africa and, you know, even among the lieutenant colonel and the colonel of third group that, hey, like, you know, they're not going to attack Americans. And so really that threat wasn't taken into account when pushing these men forward. Whereas the team was kind of, their attitude was, well, the mission that you're sending us on, even if there's no threat, there's no purpose to it, because with these vehicles, you want us to go up and, you know, capture, detain any militants that are up at this campsite. But we can't create a blocking position successfully unless we have another team. And so they had called up friends of theirs, Team Arlet, who was a Hellebore unit in another part of the country, and had coordinated to have them come in. But then they had gotten turned around. And Captain Perazzini had made it clear, if they can't be there, there really is no purpose, because we can't create a proper blocking position, and we have no built-in air support.
One of the things that crossed my mind, Michelle, as I'm reading this book is, you know, this accusation that the team went rogue and was out there acting like cowboys. I can't help but wonder if maybe part of that came from the fact that your husband's team took, of their own initiative, contacted the folks at Arlet and said, hey, can you do this? And said, yeah. And then it started to go up the chain of command. You think maybe somebody got their nose out of joint about them actually being showing initiative like that? Or did you never consider that thought?
Well, I hadn't really considered that. But honestly, that's what they're supposed to do. And in the final redacted report, it had actually said that Lieutenant Colonel Painter had decided to coordinate a... that he had contacted the team up at Arlet and had decided to coordinate this, you know, multi-team raid, as though it was something planned from the beginning, which it wasn't. It was actually, originally, they wanted just my husband's team to go up and do the mission. And they had recognized right away, Captain Perazzini and the whole team had said, hey, we can't do this in our trucks. We need a Hellebore unit. We need air support. This is much bigger than what we've been put in country to do. So we need more than us to just go up and capture, detain some terrorists.
And so there was, once again, another decision point when Team Arlet had to be turned around because of sandstorms. They couldn't get to the mission site in the time. Once again, that mission should have been called off, in my opinion, my humble opinion, and your husband and their team should have come home. At the end of the day, or at the end of that action, Michelle, I mentioned that, you know, the four members of our teams that were killed, but there are several others. I mean, several of our Nigerian partners were also killed. Just an overall disaster, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they had driven up through the night to get up to the point where they were supposed to sleep. And as soon as they got there, it was around, I believe, 11 o'clock at night when they got the call that Team Arlet had gotten turned around due to a windstorm. And there were several other options that could have been done that would have been better, as far as they could have waited for the windstorm to pass and then had Team Arlet fly in and stage at Wallum, just closer to where they were carrying out the raid. And that way, if there was an issue, we would have had air support closer. But that wasn't done. And the team was like, listen, without any backup, we shouldn't be doing this. This is not safe. We're at this point, we're too far behind. We don't have the ability. By the time we get up there moving, you know, 5 miles an hour through the sand, we're already going to miss our target time to be up there. And if there is anybody up there, they're going to see us coming because the sun will be up and they'll, you know, take off. And if anything goes wrong, we don't have any backup. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, in Africa, in that part of Africa, if we need help, we don't have the air support to really if we need medevac, I believe the time is around 6 hours to get any sort of medevac help. So they knew that if something goes wrong, it's we're really stuck.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Even if help was staged, it's a long ways away.
Yes. And if they had put them in Wallum, if they had waited and said, okay, we'll give you another 3 hours before you go up and do this movement, at least the Arleigh could have gone into Wallum and had been within 30 minutes.
Michelle, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what happened afterwards. And again, as I mentioned, that's what really lit your fuse. And I want to make it very clear, this is not just a frustrated widow out there doing some armchair quarterbacking. I mean, you, after the gag order and the investigation was concluded, you interviewed every member or most of the members or all, maybe all the members of the team that were there on the ground, and they told you the real unvarnished truth. And that's so that you're just... This is not a novel. This is an accurate depiction that is found in the book. Folks, visit MichelleBlackSacrifice.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Craig Morgan. During this crisis, homeless veterans are alone, often sleeping on nothing more than a piece of cardboard. We need to act now. You have the power to move them from cardboard to headboard. Every dollar donated to Veterans Matters moves a homeless hero from the streets into their own home. To help, visit cardboardtoheadboard.org. They are not alone. They have you.
At The Specialist, they know the best quality window tint, paint protection, and alarm systems can defend your car. They do their job whether you're thinking about it or not. The Specialists remind you to take a moment to pause and thank those men and women who are protecting your rights, your freedoms, and your family. Many are doing so today, whether you're thinking about it or not. If you're a member of our armed forces looking to protect your vehicle, please visit any of the 3 locations in Tucson and 1 in Sierra Vista. Ask for your military discount. You've earned it. Find out more at az-specialist.com or call 795-4300.
Our military and first responders provide us all security. But who is providing financial security for your family and business? At Vetrano Financial Services, we are committed to helping you navigate the current challenging financial landscape. Visit vetrano.net to learn more about our diverse solutions for business, family, and individuals. Request a free quote online or just give us a call at 520-544-7919. Vetrano Financial is a proud supporter of military and first responder charities. Vetrano.net. Insurance products issued by Principal National Life Insurance Company, except in New York. Principal Life Insurance Company securities and advisory products. Offered through Principal Securities Incorporated, 800-247-1737, member SIPC. Principal National, Principal Life, and Principal Securities Incorporated are members of the Principal Financial Group. Des Moines, Iowa 50392. Tom Vetrano, Joe Vetrano, Mike Duty. Principal National and Principal Life Financial Representatives. Principal Securities Registered Representatives. Financial Advisors. Vetrano Financial is not an affiliate of any company of the Principal Financial Group.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee is working to identify transportation priorities for the region. These priorities will guide development of an RTA continuation plan for projects beyond June 2026. The RTA's current 20-year transportation plan is funded by a state-established, voter-approved special taxing district within Pima County. To learn more about RTA's continuation plan, funding options, and how you can provide input, visit rtamobility.com.
Hey, listeners, I've purchased guns at Diamondback Shooting Sports, sold a rifle using their consignment program, and even had my trusty old first rifle repaired by their expert staff. If you're considering anything shooting-related, please visit my friends at Diamondback Shooting Sports on the corner of Broadway and Cobb or dbackshootingsports.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, and your health practitioner may not have a degree, but they won't need one. Think herbs and potions. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Hello, friends. BBG here. One of the cool things about being a radio host is the opportunity to tell my friends about great products. I carry Ride-On Optics on my rifle, and here's why you should too. High-quality optics at the best possible prices, and every unit comes with an unlimited lifetime warranty. Of course, I love that they're the world's only military and law enforcement-owned optics company. Advanced features and crystal-clear glass means Ride-On has the right product for you. Hunting, tactical use, and long-range long-range shooting. Available at retailers or online at ritonoptics.com. See the difference for yourself right on optics.com. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Michelle Black's first book, Sacrifice, A Gold Star Widow's Fight for the Truth, is a darn good one. And congratulations, Michelle. I guess you'd rather not have a book and have your husband back, though.
That's absolutely right.
I guess your mission, and what people need to hear, and they'll get this when they read the book, but, you know, the families like yours, you weren't wanting punishment. I mean, you just wanted the truth. And you're not by any means anti-military, right?
No, not at all. In fact, I would, you know, encourage my kids to join, honestly. I love the military. I love, you know, everything about it. I love the principles. I love the way everyone's taught to respect each other. Having come from a non-military background, and never knowing anyone who had been in until I met Brian and his family, I was surprised how much I liked it, and I still would fully support my children joining.
Well, you know, one thing that came to mind, Michelle, when I was considering having you on the show, and particularly after I read the book, there's a maximum in the law enforcement community. Nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And that kept coming around when I was reading your book because, you know, again, this is not an anti-military book, but it's about justice. And at the end of the day, it was tragic enough, but then further injustices were heaped upon the survivors with part of this investigation. And there were several things that came out later in the book as you and your family keep pressing these investigators and these briefers, and the story is kind of squishy and it kind of keeps changing. And I tell you, the one line that really jumped out at me when they came to your home to give you that, I think it was the final briefing, and one of the officers, and I'll read this verbatim, he said, "There was no intelligence failure. There simply was no intelligence." Well, I'm no General George Patton, but dang, that to me, those are one and the same, aren't they?
Right. Yeah, and I think I went on to explain that, you know, whether they claim there's an intelligence failure or not, you know, I am certain that my husband and everyone who died that day would feel that they were failed by the intelligence that they, you know, didn't have. So that to me is an intelligence failure.
Explain to our listeners what a GOMAR is and why that makes a difference for some of these survivors.
It's a general officer, memorandum of...
reprimand, maybe?
Yes, reprimand. Yep. There we go. And so basically what it is it it's a letter that is given to it's a letter of punishment for an individual serving in the military. And it can be issued at the local level, or it's so if it goes in your local file, then when you change duty stations, it essentially becomes irrelevant. But if it goes in your permanent file, then from then on out, it will be looked at and it will permanently affect your career, meaning you will never be promoted again.
So it's a career ender.
Yes.
Where do some of those folks stand now, Michelle? I think there's at least one member of the team who just decided I'm getting out.
Yes. One team member got out. He'd lost his best friend, and I think for him, he was in his early 20s. It just seeing the injustice, it was just too much, you know, and that I can fully understand. When you consider how much goes into just earning your Green Beret and seeing that he and his best friend had just earned their Green Berets, they were just starting out their lives, and then this cost his friend his life, and then everything got flipped around and all the blame went down the line onto them. And I think for him, that was just too much.
Do you think in some ways, Michelle, that, I mean, the damage was already done, but the fact that I was a General Mattis or, I mean, someone, you know, somebody at the highest level basically had to intercede in this case and saying, no, that, you know, you're not going to give him a GOMAR, or you're going to make it just in his local file. I mean, to me, that sends a pretty powerful message.
Yeah, General Mattis was working as the Secretary of Defense for President Trump at the time. And when he saw this come across his desk that, you know, all the men at the lowest levels were receiving punishments, and yet the men who had actually ordered the mission and above, none of them were being punished. And yet when you actually read the redacted report, what you see is there's all these upper-level fixes, but only junior-level punishments. So how can you have all senior-level fixes and no senior-level punishments? That didn't add up. And so it was, yes, General Mattis who had to finally say, okay, I want this reviewed.
And I tell you, one of I'm liking this General Bulldog guy. I'd like to meet him someday. One of the quotes in that last chapter of the book, he says, look, that's why we have generals, not to meddle in what these guys are doing, but to provide oversight through experience to make sure guys are prepared. Michelle, we've got just a couple minutes left. I want to change gears here a little bit because another very powerful message that comes out of this, and I hope other families listening out there who might be in a similar situation and the civilians also need to hear. Memorial Day is the toughest show that I have to do every year. And you recount in the book a situation where you see a photo of a Gold Star wife and her children visiting a grave, not realizing 6 months later you'd be the wife in that photo. Tell us a little quick about what kind of support's out there and why people should go ahead and accept help if it's offered and how you learned that lesson.
Yeah, you know, for me, I mean, there's so much help out there for military families, and it took me a long time to accept that help. It really did. But I think finding other widows, finding, you know, one of my friends that I met here recently has the Wear Blue Run to Remember event. And for my kids and for me, that's been huge because we meet other Gold Star families. The kids have mentors who are within the military community who spend time with them. And just being able to speak with other people and realize, okay, we're all going through this on Memorial Day, and we can all spend that time together rather than, you know, going out in the community and you have people telling you, Happy Memorial Day, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so hard, you know, because, and not holding that against people, because for years that's what it was to me as well. So learning how to find that balance between it's okay that people are happy on Memorial Day, and while I'm struggling with it, it's important that I am with people who are also struggling with it, rather than getting upset at people who are having a good time, because, you know, that's what they died. They died to bring this freedom to everyone in our country, and we should be celebrating, and I look forward to the day when I do celebrate on Memorial Day again, but it will always be different, you know.
Yeah, and that's something I've heard from lots of veterans themselves too, Michelle. Ladies and gentlemen, write these names down. If you don't know someone, when Memorial Day comes around, write these names down and think of them. Staff Sergeant Brian Black, Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson, Staff Sergeant Dustin Wright, and Sergeant LaDavid Johnson. Michelle, when folks look at your book and see the cover, they might be expecting kind of a grief book, but that's absolutely not what they're going to get, is it?
No, it's not. What they get is a book where, you know, you do get a little bit of the grief. But the reason I put that in there is because I've heard those comments before, like, well, after a while, well, what difference does it make? Well, this draws you in and shows you who the family is and why it matters to have the truth, to have justice, and not to lie to the families, because they are people. There are children involved. So it does matter. But I use our story, the grief, to draw you in to feel, so that when you read the lies that we were told, you understand why it matters so much.
Well, Michelle, thank you for writing this book. Is another one coming down the line for you?
I sure hope so. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed doing this, so I hope I get an opportunity to do it again.
Well, I'll tell you honestly, I can't say I enjoyed reading the book because it's a tough subject. But it was a good read, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, the book is Sacrifice, A Gold Star Widow's Fight for the Truth. You can find more information at michelleblacksacrifice.com. I'm sure you can find the book at all your local stores, too. Michelle, thank you for spending an hour with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find this podcast and over 250 others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Also on your favorite streaming platform. platform, Apple, Pandora, Stitcher, Deezer, Google, whatever it is, you can find these messages, and please share them with other people. If you'd like to support us, visit patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted.